Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, he's a registered sex offender who was on parole here in California after...
Again, Governor, we already do for religion and race and ethnicity, so why not expand it?
Do you think politically we're going backwards on this issue?
I've met, yes, Muslim children, but I don't have actually any...
I am gay.
Thank you for telling me what I already know.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about. A show where truth is our bitch, where truth is the light in the way.
Mr. Hendry will lead you there.
That's right. Every night here until 1 a.m. here at the El Pacifico and 4 a.m. out there east. That's what we do, baby. And every time and time change and time zone in between, man. Because that's what this is all about, and I would be lying to you if I told you anything else, okay? So I'd love to be able to sit here and tell you, for instance, that Obama is going to put together a defense force of civilians, secret, a children's village of the damned force that will force you from your vehicle and hypnotize you and make you drive into a brick wall or all these other nefarious things. That lady who, last caller we had last hour was a great caller. She truly... I think, brought it home. The point she said was that the media controls what we think. Well, she was wrong, but it was a great statement because it's a statement that many people make and many people believe. The media doesn't control what we think. The media controls what we think. What is that about? The media controls what we think. I see. So we're all hooked into the mother-father computer like we're R-75s, and we get the juice poured into our brain, and we go out like the Night of the Living Dead. Is that what's going on? No, I'm sorry. It's not that simple. You see, these answers, folks, are simple answers. Simple answers. And simple-minded people believe in these things. Now, I'm not saying that the lady that called believes it. I think what she was saying, a lot of people say, well, I'm okay, I don't believe it, but there's a lot of really weak-minded people out there. Yeah, and you know who the weak-minded people are? You want to know who they are? They're the ones that are talking to you from the television set every day, baby, and the ones that are talking to you from the radio. Those are the weak-minded people. Those are the people that they don't even understand what they're saying. Look, when a guy sits there for all of God and man to hear and he says that the Malmedy massacre was perpetrated by the Americans in World War II, which is, as I've said before, is something any school kid ought to know the correct answer to. When a guy sits there and he says that Alaska was bought in the 1950s, when some other dumbass says that this and that and something else, you know, when Herbert Hoover invented the television set or whatever that jazz was. Oh, you mean that guy was running for president? Never mind.
Yeah, that's presidential one.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks, bud. You're right on top of it, huh?
Yeah, man. You everybody know that.
I know that. Everybody's got it bass-ackwards. I'm here to tell you that the truth is nobody's controlling what we think. We can think anything we want. Don't you think it would make sense if we thought stuff that's actually, you know, real? Don't you think that would make a little bit of sense? Or are we all giving up on making sense? Is that what we're doing? We just gave up on making sense. Who needs to make sense? It's out of my hands. I'm just a weak sister here. Oh, goodness gracious, oh me. Oh, me, oh, my. What am I going to do? They're lying to me over here. Oh, come on. Buck up, butch up, man up. Whichever category you fall into, okay?
What about butch up?
That's for butch, Matt out. Now, I'm joking around, butch. I mean, Rachel. No. Nobody's controlling what you think. Nobody is controlling anything other than what they are controlling. They control what they control. You control what you control. You know what you control? You control your life. You control what you believe and what you don't believe. You control where you get your information. Do you want truth? You can go get it. Do you want to know what's happening? You can find that. Do you want to believe that that man in the powder blue shirt with the really groovy tie and the blue blazer and that wink and the smile and the good looking makeup job they do on these guys? You want to believe that that guy is telling you the truth? Do you really, really want to believe that? Well, if that's what you want to believe, you go right ahead. But brother, as the man said, actions have consequences, you know, decisions have consequences. You decide to believe somebody that's lying to you, then whose fault is that? Really? The guy up there on the TV and the guy in the radio, these are the dumbest people that the world has ever known. These are idiots that are just spewing stuff into the atmosphere so they can maybe squeeze another dollar out of an advertiser. They don't care who they put on the air, so long as the guy's going to be able to squeeze another viewer, another advertiser, another advertising dollar. They'll put anybody on the air. They'll put on, think of the people that they've put on the air and that we come to believe and trust. Let's take, for instance, Joe the Plumber. I am here to tell you, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth now. I'm going to tell you the truth. You think that this is all politically skewed. I'm telling you the truth. Joe the Plumber is not the answer. Joe the Plumber is a nice man. I met Joe. I talked to Joe. He's a good guy. But he's not too bright when it comes to certain issues. He just ain't too bright. Now, that may sound like heresy to some people, and I got to tell you, if it's heresy to some people, I feel sorry for those people. But Joe the Plumber, nice guy, not too bright. But that cat was held up as an example of the real American. He ain't me. I'm a real American. I was born in this country. Born, raised, went to school here. I've traveled her roads and her back alleys. And
a Hershey Highway.
Will you shut up and get him out of here?
Man, what do you mean a Hershey Highway?
In any event, that's where that's at. Now, let me just lead into this. Ted Kennedy died. He was a senator, and many people respect him and love him. He was a man who represented the state of Massachusetts, and there were a great many colleagues in the Senate that thought he was a terrific guy. A lot of people in the media liked him a lot. Ted Kennedy was a significant figure, I think, in American politics, but I don't know that history will necessarily elevate him as high as he's been elevated today. However, I'm willing to believe that history will see things much clearer than I see them now. I'm just guessing. But I think as the time goes on, perhaps, nonetheless, he is due the respect that he gets. But the reality is this. The reality is different from what you saw today, for instance, on television. The reality is the American people were not all that interested in the Ted Kennedy funeral. Oh, sure, we glanced at it. We had no choice. It isn't that we hate him. It isn't that we disliked him. It's just isn't all that interesting. He wasn't Ronald Reagan. That doesn't mean that he was a worse guy. It just means that he wasn't Ronald Reagan. Reagan was more popular. For whatever the reason, he was more popular. He wasn't his brother John Kennedy. Doesn't make him a bad guy. He just wasn't John Kennedy. He wasn't president. He wasn't Robert Kennedy. He was just Ted Kennedy. So in an effort to try to make this bigger than it actually was, and it wasn't all that big, a Huffington Post contributor by the name of Matt Cooper, who meant well but went overboard, he posted something, I believe it was on Twitter. He wrote, and I'm quoting, "It feels a bit like 9/11 on Martha's Vineyard. End of summer, weather is achingly beautiful, but the mood is melancholy because of Teddy." Now, I understand that Matt Cooper was going a little bit over the top to try to get people interested in what it was he was tweeting. After all, he spent perhaps his own money and certainly his own time. I don't know what the Huffington Post pays, but it can't be all that much. Anyway, Matt, if at all. Or maybe they pay in something really, like, distasteful, like, I don't know, maybe you get dibs on some kind of a garage sale that Ariana's having. But in any event, he was there, and he made the tweet, and people just started getting nuts. How dare you compare it to 9/11? And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry, not once, but twice. He said it like a gentleman. He said, you're right, I put it poorly, I didn't mean to equate 3,000 murders with one expected death. He said, I said it clumsily, I didn't mean to equate those murders with the death of a man who we all knew was going to pass on. I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. Okay, that's cool. But do you think that the Newsbusters website can let it pass? No. Now, Newsbusters is a watchdog. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying to you that a guy that made a statement that I think is an asinine statement turned around and apologized for it because he recognized that what he said was said in the rush of the moment. And I give the man his due. He manned up. He said, you know what, that's a stupid-ass comment to make. I apologize. I didn't mean to make that comment. Good. But newsbusters can't go a day without having something on their stupid-ass site that says, look what we found. Right? Why, we found a guy who actually, and so Newsbusters devotes a whole damn page to this man who misspoke and didn't mean to say what he said and apologized. No, that's not good enough. What they got to do is they got to stick it in, twist it, and break it off. If there was no damage done by that man's comment, or minimal damage, shall we say, done by that man's comment, well, Newsbusters is there to make the damage worse. Look at this silly-ass liberal. Well, what did he do? Well, he said about 9/11. All right, well, he apologized. Well, that's, you know, yeah, he apologized. That's no good. Why? Because then there's nothing to report. Well, what are you going to do now? I'm gonna say what a jackball he is and la-la-la. I tell you what, man, you know what this is? No, it's chloroform. I'm pouring it on a rag, and it's going right in your face. Now, wait a minute. And then he passes out, and that's what I would have done had I been standing in front of the jackass there at Newsbusters that put this thing up on the. What are you guys doing for a living over there? Okay, what do you think we're doing out here? You think we got time to waste while you guys are in a daisy chain over there at Newsbusters trying to figure out how you can screw up the opposition today? You're just like your counterparts over there at Huff. It's the same damn animal. You got different colored stripes. You might live in a different part of the jungle, but the two of you look identical to me. You're a bunch of crap disturbers. You're people that sit there and you pick through the news and try to find something that will discredit, disparage, and redound negatively to your opposition because, by God, you wouldn't have a reason to exist. Never mind if it confuses the dialogue. Never mind if it's not really anything that we need to worry that much about. Never mind if the guy apologized. He didn't mean to say it. It was a big mistake, and we're sorry, 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 sorry. You guys, what you do is you just send that stuff sailing out into the universe so people get really worked up. And once again, we're off point, off track. We're off of everything, man. We're off our meds. I wish you cats would go off your meds. I wish you'd go off your meds and wander onto a freeway someplace. That'd be fantastic as far as I was concerned. I have to be honest with you folks, and this is going to sound horrible. If the entire staff of Newsbusters and the Huffington Post, if all of them went off their meds, Newsbusters is right wing, Huffington Post left wing, but I'm not saying this to show you that I equally hate both of them. I'm doing this to show you that I find it odious that these professional journalists, quote-unquote, are so trivial that they have to look for any small rat turd every day to blast across their page like an elephant just took a dump, right? So I wish they'd all go off their meds and they'd all wander right out onto the Interstate 5 there, just below the border checkpoint as everybody's getting up to about 80 miles an hour. Just go running right across the freeway. Boom! For all the good you guys do, anybody in this world. 877-876-PHIL. I think that got it said, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, Orrin Hatch pens a song for Teddy Kennedy. Just as soon as I got done telling you that it isn't that big of a deal and we shouldn't be talking all that much about it, I'd like to play a song written for Ted Kennedy by Orrin Hatch. Next, on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have the stories we couldn't get to. We'll always get to those on our show this evening. And we'll go to a phone call now. Don't forget, you can watch our live streaming video at philhenryshow.com. Hear our downloadable audio at philhenryshow.com. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, just go on over there, get a backstage pass, plus all of the archives. We have archives. We have endless hours. I mean, thousands of hours of archive material for you to go through, video, all kinds of stuff. It's not just a radio show website. Our website has the history of a brilliant career. Thank you.
Yeah, Miss Henry, do it. It's great.
Disgusting.
All right, you should talk there, Rick. Here is Paul in Birmingham. Paul, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just wanting to chat for a moment with you here. We hear about the good intentions behind wanting to get into this whole healthcare thing, but the bottom line is, my man, Congress just really doesn't have the power to be even discussing the issue. I'm looking. I got a copy of the Constitution right here in front of me. I'm looking at Article 1, Section 8, where it's enumerating the powers of Congress, and there's nothing there about getting into this industry.
Congress is empowered to enact legislation.
Of course they are.
And the president, the executive branch has the power to veto. And then our judiciary eventually has the power to interpret the Constitution as it pertains to that law. Now, where in that do you see that the Congress cannot pass this legislation as they've passed Medicare, Social Security, unemployment, and so forth?
Unconstitutional, 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 the whole lot of it.
Okay, tell me how.
Well, because if you look at Article 1, Section 8, like I was trying to get to, there are very specific things that they can and they cannot do. Establishing weights and measures, the issuing of currency, the declarations of wars, marquees and reprisal. All those things are very specific there. The only broadest interpretation that I could find was the Interstate Commerce Clause that has been generously interpreted, okay? It has been. But in many ways, I think, over-liberally interpreted.
Well, of course, as the man said, every time the Supreme Court rules against the guy, a guy says, well, they were wrong and it's unconstitutional. Every time he rules in favor, we say, ah, see, they are ruling constitutionally. This is a matter of Supreme Court interpretation.
Yeah,
okay?
But it can only go before the Supreme Court if somebody brings it to trial. So in other words...
Well, and it has been, and it has been.
I'm not arguing that.
And by the way,
this debate right now is a bogus debate.
By the way, you didn't read Article 1. You read the first, you read one selective paragraph. Article 1 of the Constitution of the United States has something like 8, 9, 10 sections to it.
Actually, you're exactly right.
And at the very end, it says powers prohibited of states. Powers prohibited of states. You realize that with all of these people yakking about the power of the state, we actually have a clause in a section in Article 1 that tells us what the states are not allowed to do.
Actually, that's Article 1, Section 9. I'm sorry, Section 10, where everything
that's what I said.
The state cannot do is listen. Yeah, but I'm
right.
About
that's what I said.
Eight. I'm talking about Section 8. You're talking about Section 10.
Well, that's fine. We're talking about an entire article, okay, of the Constitution of the United States of America on the powers of the legislative branch. And
right.
You're giving me Section 8. I'm telling you, I got 1 through 10 here.
Dude, I got them in front of me, too. And I'm
I got it. Look at
Section 8.
Paul.
That's where the
Paul,
laws are given.
Paul.
That's where they
Paul,
have the power to make
Paul,
legislation.
Let me tell you this, okay? You know you're wrong. You know you're wrong because the Congress of the United States passed budgetary as well as legislative acts for the interstate system that you and I drive on today. The Congress of the United States is able to fund a border patrol. The Congress of the United States is able to fund all kinds of national plans that you and I partake of each and every day. Are you telling me the interstate highway system that we have that was built by a Republican president in the 1950s is unconstitutional?
Yes, I am.
Well,
I do not believe
for a moment that you are sincere. I think you're grasping at a straw. It's not a bad one. But
I'm
I can tell you right now, you know, is
telling you the truth.
No, you're not. No, you're not. The Supreme Court of the United States doesn't back you up.
No,
so who are you? Who are you, man?
The Supreme Court of the United States can't just select...
No, excuse me. If what you're saying is true, I guarantee you, somebody sued him, okay? And it has not been upheld in any way, shape, or form, no fashion or form, that it's unconstitutional for the Congress of the United States to enact legislation that covers federally all 50 states. I'm telling you, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong, and I don't even think you. I don't even think you believe what you're saying.
I completely believe what I'm saying.
Well, then I got a great idea for you. If it's viable, there's somebody out there, a lawyer out there, that'll pick it up and it would pick the ball up and run with it, my brother. It's been 200 years, and we have had, including the American system under Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln, federal funding for canals, for roads, you name it, infrastructure of all kind that cover all 50 states and are, in fact, interstate. This has been going on for 200 years. You're aware of that, right? Abraham Lincoln, who is everybody's favorite. Abraham Lincoln's the guy everybody brings up. Abraham Lincoln was a Federalist when it came to infrastructural improvements and improvements to the national system.
He was also a traitor. He violated.
Well, you know what? Okay, so let me say this: you're a dumbass from Alabama. How do you feel about that?
You don't understand.
You like that one? Okay, see you later, dummy. He was a traitor. So there we got a guy from Birmingham. Don't you people in Birmingham feel embarrassed?
Phil Hendry.
You're not? Okay. Well, you shouldn't be. That's just one guy. You know, it's
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, our number is 877-876, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, midweek. Is this Wednesday? I forget. When did the garbage man come? Oh, he came yesterday, okay. So the cans are still in the street.
Yeah.
Go get them.
Oh.
877-876-PHIL is our number. So you have to add the P-H-I-L. I don't know what those digits are. I personally, it's difficult for me because I'd rather just have the numbers than have to spell things out. 7445 876 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445 is our number, and we're going to go over to Cheryl in Beaverton, Oregon. And Cheryl, what do you got to say tonight?
Oh, Phil, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. I love your show. I'll let you know right hand. I am so upset I cannot even see straight. Everyone has heard about this mortgage bailout that Obama has in place. Which is great, and I've done research on it and couldn't really get a whole lot on it, and I now have friends that have done it firsthand. Now, just to give you a hint, they've had their house for 4 years. They have refinanced it 3 times. They have 3 mortgages. Her husband got laid off. Rather, he got the option to take a step down from management or to quit. He opted to quit, and they were approved to get their mortgage interest rate to 1%. And cut their monthly payments from $1,600 to $800 for the rest of their mortgage. Now, how this is fair when the first-time homebuyers, people are trying to save up and pay their bills like I am attempting to do, FHA is the best thing out there, really, for the most part, I have no grasp. My brain cannot wrap around how this can possibly...
Well, wait. Let's slow down and first of all consider this. This is a house that they already own. This is a home that's been purchased. They own it, and they have a note that is due to the bank. You haven't bought a home yet, correct? Is that right? Okay. So what we're dealing with here, Cheryl, is there is a note that is due. The bank needs the money. We had these toxic assets. We had a lot of houses that were that were simply not being paid off. The people were walking away from their payments. And suddenly you had all of these mortgages out there, not only here in the United States, but worldwide, that were not being paid. A bunch of bad paper, a whole bunch of bad deals made by these banks, yes, and made by the brokers. And that was the immediate concern. The immediate concern was the following. We got to start making some money back on this. This is death, you know. If we don't know how much money that we're going to be taking in, how much money do we know to lend out if we don't know how much we're bringing in? So there's no lending going on. And hence, you know what happened. The banks froze the lending. No credit was being extended, and business stopped dead in its tracks. So the first thing you do is you take all of that paper that's out there, and you got to make it good somehow. So you take the person who's got the note, you got the mortgage, and you say, all right, look, rather than you walking away from this thing, or you can't sell it, and we don't want the house, we want the money, what can we work out with you? Now, you're a first-time buyer,
right. And
you're a whole other... And while you may not think it's fair, and probably it isn't to some degree, what they're doing is a basic survival here, you know. I got to get this house paid off. How are we going to get these first-time homebuyers, by the way, get up to $8,000 in tax credits under Obama? You know that, right?
Right. No, and I understand that. And my issue isn't that they're getting assistance, by no means, because I very much think that there are a lot of people out there that need it, whether you've made mistakes of your own judgment or whether it was situations that were put upon you. My issue with it is the life of the mortgage. Even for any government services, you have to reapply each year. You have to show proof of income. You have to show that you still need that service. It's
of
not
course.
Giving you on a silver tray that you get this for the rest of your mortgage, which is what they have in paper. Did they get this for the
Cheryl, you know what started all of this, don't you?
Foreclosures in the prime mortgage.
Exactly. So you're talking about a platform, a system that was in place. That may well be good, if it's actually, done according to good business practice. And you're not just giving mortgages out to anybody. You have to have income. You have to have, a history of employment. You have to have good credit. All of the things that you're talking about, it's true. But all of that stuff in terms of the potentially toxic assets, all that stuff went out the window. All of that in favor of how can we start seeing money come in on these loans we've made. So while this couple you're talking about, the guy took early retirement. He was going to be laid off anyway. They refied three times. They went to the bank and said, "Here's the situation." Did they have a good payment history? They most probably did. I think you had to have a good payment history to even qualify for this. That's what the number one concern was. You're talking about the way it ought to be and the way that it should have been if these jackasses like Countrywide and the rest of them had done business like decent human beings instead of being the bloodsuckers that they were. And now their asses are up for grabs. Some of these guys are under indictment. Some of these guys are going to be living in a jail cell. And that's how they used the old system that you and I both liked. That's how they abused it to the point where not only are they going to wind up in a prison, but the economic health of this country was put at grave risk. And so the rules had to be rewritten. And I hope that you buy your house really, really soon. I have one if you'd like to buy it. I'm selling mine. $2 million. What do you think?
A little out of my
I'm
range.
Kidding. All right. Anyway, Cheryl, best of luck to you and your family. I appreciate your phone call. And you know what? The lady's absolutely right. I thought the game was played this way. You're right. The game was played that way. And the game, to some degree, is going to continue to be played that way. But guess what we have to do now? Now, I don't know why this goes in one ear and sails out the other with some people who say government off the back of business. 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 If the government get off the back of business, why business go about doing all the things the business does good? But the government won't get off the back of business. All right, let's get off their backs. Now they're floating loans to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, if you'll pardon the expression. Now they're getting people qualified who don't qualify. Now they're getting them on the dotted line there, and they're running off to their vacation in Cancun so they can make their monthly number. Now they got guys that are buying houses, man, that probably aren't even humans. Maybe they're selling them to cats and dogs. We don't know. They just want to make sure that they get that commission check cut, and the company wants to make sure that they get the numbers on the books so they can show a profit. So they're whoever the hell is in charge of that thing, whether it's a stockbroker or some guy sitting on his dead ass who's about 850 years old with a hand wrapped around a cane somewhere and a crackling fire in the middle of July, so he's happy. So they went about and they did the business that they felt was good, and that's what government should do is stay off their back. Well, we stayed off their back, all right, and guess what we got in return? We got banks that were ready to melt down to the core of the earth. We had an international banking crisis, you understand? This wasn't American. This was all over the world. Not a nickel was going from one bank to the next. How much money have I got? You want me to lend you what? I mean, I want to borrow some money. You ain't got to borrow any money. Why? I don't know how much I got. Well, what do you mean you don't have much? Because I got all this deadbeat paper that I'm looking at. Look at this stuff. Well, how much is it? Well, the money that I figured, they figured it was somewhere in the neighborhood of what, $500 billion? How deep is the hole? You willing to roll the dice and say, well, you know, I think we've stopped the bleeding? Or do you go in with cement and sandbags and everything you got and you try to fill that freaking hole so whatever water is going to come through that thing doesn't come through that thing? Do we got anybody who reads crystal balls around here? I don't see anybody lately. All we know is that we had a banking crisis that was now beginning to go global, We didn't know how much money it was going to take. We had to get the secretaries of the Treasury and of the mints and whatever the hell they call it everywhere else together in a room to figure this thing out. We had to coordinate interest rates, coordinate banking hours, for all I know. How much money is being lent, the rate of exchange, everything had to be talked about and everything had to be unified. Otherwise, this thing was going to spread like a cancer. And then people with that Monday morning quarterbacking sense that everybody's got, we spent way too much money. Well, we didn't have to spend that much money. Don't you understand that? How much money did you think we would have to spend? Well, just about the amount of money that we did spend. We didn't know. You're going to talk about Obama, and then people will say, George Bush, a president that I admire, and I don't make any bones about it. I admired the hell out of that man. He had guts to spare. Even President Bush weighed in on this one. And, of course, then we have this. Well, you know, Bush, he was a real disappointment. I'm a conservative, and right. You know, if Jesus come down off the cross, he wouldn't be the right kind of guy for you because, after all, you know, he doesn't wear shoes. These guys, man, I mean, I'm telling you, we just don't have time for these pains in the ass anymore. These people with their excuses. These people with their finger pointing. The whole thing revolves around the way we did business. And we did business, and we did it according to the free enterprise system, and yes, we did. And guess what? Business sometimes needs to have a boot put in its teeth. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Gary in Phoenix. Gary, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, first, Phil, it's an honor to talk to you. I've been wanting to call your show for a long time. I've been listening for 6 years, but...
Thank you.
Now I finally got to it on tonight of all nights, but I wanted to weigh in on the healthcare thing. Now, I think what really needs to be done is we should keep the same system and just limit the, you know, amount of corruption in it. I think that the malpractice lawsuit abused by the lawyers is out of control. And I think that the fact that illegal immigrants who don't pay taxes can come up here from Mexico and get all the free healthcare they want. And I know that's the popular thing to say because you get labeled a racist.
It's not true. It's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, are you talking about the health care plan that's being proposed?
No, the health care plan that we have in place.
Oh, the health care plan we have in place. You mean the one that everybody's defending because they don't want Obama's plan? That one?
Well, I don't want Obama's plan because, you know, I just think it's a little bit, I don't know, I just don't like the idea of big government. Like, I just don't like the idea of a government monopoly on health care. I don't like the new health care plan because it's...
You're not educated on the plan, Gary. I mean, I'm not saying that you're not a smart man. You just haven't taken the time to educate yourself on the plan.
And
I wish you would. I wish you would. I wish you would do that instead of just talking about something you don't know anything about. And as far as illegal immigrants coming up here and getting health care, if a guy comes into an emergency room and he's bleeding to death, that's the health care that the illegals are getting. I don't know. Doctors take a Hippocratic oath. You can throw the guy into the street if you'd like. But they're not the ones that are bleeding the system, my brother. There's 50 million human beings out there that don't have health care, and not all of them are illegals, okay? They're Americans, and they go to an emergency room, and they got to get emergency services. And hold on for a second, Gary. Because I got to be honest with you, what you've been telling me so far, I've heard in spades from all kinds of people. You don't know what you're talking about.
You just don't know what you're talking about.
Now you're telling me about these lawsuits. Okay, how many of these lawsuits that are being paid off are frivolous and the doctors making off with blood money? I mean, do you know how many of these doctors that have been sued didn't deserve to be sued? Didn't actually deserve to have.
So they deserve
to be sued.
But, you know, a lot of cases, though, they don't because those are trivial things. Like,
no, wait a minute. How many?
Well, I don't know the exact amount. But
I know you don't know, man, and that's the problem here. I'm listening to people they don't know. They have no answers to anything. They heard this on the Glenn Oberman show, or maybe that was the Bill O'Shuster show or something, and they don't know anything, okay? You're telling me I don't know. You're telling me the standard stock response against the Obama health care plan. This is standard de facto default response, which is the malpractice suits.
You can't tell me how much?
Hey, Gary, goodbye. You're talking too much for a guy that doesn't know anything. I don't mind discussing with people who've got just maybe just a modicum of information. But the answer I don't know is more often than not the answer you get from people when you ask them, all right, well, when we're talking about these lawsuits, how much is being paid out in lawsuits that were legitimately won? I don't know. Well, how much of a percentage of these lawsuits is going to the inflation of our health care premium? I don't know. But you just know you're against it, huh? Yeah. Why? Because the guy probably goes through life calling himself a conservative or a liberal or whatever he calls himself. That's the club. People, we got to get some answers. The media is not controlling what we're thinking. We control what we think. It's lazy thinking. It's lazy to say I'm being manipulated. It's lazy to say it's the government taking over healthcare. This is just lazy. All we have to do is look up the answers. The reason why we don't is a very, very easy. I'll tell you the reason why we don't. We don't want to have to change our minds, even if the country goes to hell in a handcart. And that's what I've been telling my audience on this show. The political ideologues, whether they are conservative or liberal, whether they are people that, you know, I have a hard and fast belief of this. You have a hard and fast belief of something to the point where the country goes to hell right down the drain. Right down the drain, because changing one's mind is too difficult. We'd rather see the country rot from the inside out. Well, I got news. That's not patriotism as far as I'm concerned. A person that can change their mind or maybe get some facts and shift their view a little bit so that we've got some clear view of what's really going on, that to me is the mark of a man, not some lily-liver, gutless wonder who decides, this is my philosophy, this is the way it's going to be, everybody else can go to hell, and that's just how it is, and I don't care what happens, you know? I mean, maybe we don't even have democracy. Maybe we need a dictator. Maybe we needed this. Maybe we needed that. You know, I got no use for that. You know? That's why I got no use for any of these slobs that call themselves what they call themselves, whatever it may be. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think we have time for another call. We'd have to take a break here, and we're going to get to the stories we couldn't get to. Next, you are wonderful people for putting up with Phil's gas bag. And tonight, baby, you can see us over there on the videocast every night at philhenryshow.com. And it's time now for the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for this evening. Actually, this morning. And this story is from Perth, Australia. A monkey-suited man is arrested. And why not? Police in Australia said they arrested a man who refused to give his name while dressed as a monkey in a shopping center. Perth police said Brenton Green, age 21, was spotted by two officers Sunday afternoon. What if he was like age 61 or 65 or age 57, a father of three? No, this was Brenton Green, 21. He was spotted by two officers Sunday afternoon hugging shoppers, posing for photos, and dancing for the crowd, according to the Perth Now newspaper. Why was he arrested? Well, the officer said they asked the costume performer his name, and he responded by shaking his head and making squeaking noises. They said they asked him a second time, and he responded, monkey. The officers arrested Green and charged him with failing to comply with a police request. He was released on bail on the condition that he not return to the city. But then he was arrested on his way to a train station by the same officer who had initially arrested him, who said Green violated the conditions of his bail. Green spent Sunday night in the East Perth jail and appeared before magistrate Monday. He was released with a spent conviction, a three-month community release order, and ordered to pay a $60 fine plus court costs. Maybe he was on his way to the train station in his monkey suit. I don't know. In New York City, it seems the only nudes allowed at New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art are the ones in the collection. Yes, that's right. Police say they arrested a 26-year-old woman who was posing naked for a photographer in full view of visitors in the museum's arms and armor department on Wednesday. Model Kathleen Casey Neal faces a charge of public...
Boy, you don't get excited.
Not excited. Kathleen Casey Neal faces a public... faces a charge, I can't say it, faces a charge of public lewdness. Public lewdness. Defense attorney Donald Schechter says the museum is full of nude art, and to call what the model and her photographer were doing obscenity is ridiculous. Photographer Zach Hyman, very unfortunate name, Zach, directed the shoot. He's been getting some attention. What did he do? Run up to the cops? By the way, I'm the director of the shoot. Anyway, he's been getting some attention locally for photographing nude models on subways. Well, that's one way of getting attention there, Zach. The next way to get attention is to actually do good photographs. That's probably a stretch for you, but Hyman said he's inspired by nude paintings at the Met, and his photos are not pornographic, and one day he might put film in the camera. In Tokyo, Tokyo police will try to rein in a wave of shoplifting by lonely elderly people by involving them in community service, according to a police spokesman. One out of four elderly shoplifters in the capital blamed their crime on loneliness. Japanese media quoted a police survey as saying another 8% said it was because they had no reason to live. More than half the elderly shoplifters said they had no friends, and 40% of them lived alone. Making shoplifters do volunteer work in the community is effective, said the Tokyo Shinbun police sergeant. I don't know, man. They got some weird things over there.
Yeah, they call it like a prefecture or something.
I don't know. But what is this like curing loneliness by shoplifting? Oh, I get it. You get attention from the cop. You make... How about a special Cops Will Be Friends With Your Shoplifting Grandfather program? The Associated Press in Trenton, New Jersey reports this. A man who robbed banks every Thursday has been sentenced to nearly 6 years in federal prison. Ha ha. His name is Peter Bilecki. He pled guilty in June to one count of bank robbery, but admitted five other holdups on consecutive Thursdays in January, February, and March. He robbed banks in several cities, including Brick, his hometown of Brick, New Jersey. He didn't give a reason for choosing Thursdays, but authorities say the pattern made it easier to track him. The 40-year-old was arrested after a March 5th robbery in Old Bridge. You guessed it, on a Thursday. He'll serve 5 years and 10 months in prison. He'll also have to pay nearly $12,000 in restitution under the sentence handed down Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Trenton. Belarus's strongman leader has admitted rigging the country's last presidential election. I guess that's the last we're going to hear about that because we have to go. That's the end of our stories we couldn't get to. We'll get to that tomorrow night, maybe. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, of course, is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director each and every night is Ralph Rodriguez. From El Pacifico, until tonight or tomorrow morning, good day.
Phil Hendry.